know, not just because it was revealed for the Christians and Jews, right?
فسألوا أهل الذكر إن كنتم لا تعلمون.
Wasn't revealed, say, if you don't believe this, and ask the people, the Christians and Jews, because they have it in their books.
I'm not sure. But if this is the cause of this revelation, then you are right. Then it is.
We can't say that, right?
Yeah, we can't say that this is only applying to the Jews, right? Or when Allah Azza wa Jalla commanded the Jews, "Wasta'inu bis-sabri was-salah," "Atamuruna an-nasa bil-birri wa tansawna anfusakum." He is addressing the Jews. Are you commanding people to be righteous and you forget yourselves? So if he said it to the Jews, that doesn't mean it doesn't apply to anyone else who tells people to do good, but he doesn't do good himself. So it applies to anybody with the same kind of circumstances. And another example he puts here is the ayah, وَالَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ أَزْوَاجَهُمْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُمْ شُهَدَاءُ إِلَّا أَنفُسِهِمْ. Those who accuse their wives and they have no witnesses but themselves, then their witnesses is taken as four testimonies. Their testimony is taken as four. And then she can refute it by also swearing four times that this is not true. So this was revealed for a specific reason, for one of the Sahaba called Hilal bin Umayyah, that he said he saw his wife committing zina with another man. And so he came and he mentioned this to the Prophet ﷺ. So he said, bring the other witnesses or I will whip your back. Al-bayyina aw haddun fi dhahrik. Said you either bring your witnesses or I will whip your back. So he said, والذي بعثك بالحق إني لصادق فلا ينزلن الله ما يبرئ ظهري من الحد. So he said, by the one who sent you with the truth, I am saying the truth, and Allah will reveal that which will purify my back or protect my back from the punishment. So Jibreel came down with the ayah in which he explained that in this case they do not need four witnesses, but he can swear four times that he saw that. And fifth, والخامسة أن لعنة الله عليه من الإنكار من الكاذبين. And the fifth is that Allah's curse be on him if he was lying. And she, as we said, can protect herself from the punishment if she says, no, I didn't do it, and she swears four times. And the fifth, she says that may Allah's wrath be on her if she was lying. So they did that. And so this, even though it is specific for that, it was specifically revealed for that case, but it applies to anyone else who afterwards came and he claimed or accused his wife of committing zina.
If they can,
the four witnesses,
even they're not Muslim, I mean, there is
three. I'm not sure about this. Not sure. Well, then I'm gonna.
Sometimes there is witness.
Yeah, I'm not sure. How you deal with it? I'm not sure if the witnesses can be non-Muslims. I'm not sure. Because as we know, you know, the scholars of the past, the judges of the past, used to be very particular about the witnesses, that they should be not only Muslims, but they should be trustworthy Muslims, udul. Because a Muslim that is known to lie, or he is not an acceptable witness. So if he's not a Muslim, then he is not considered. Even though some of them are truthful, you know, but their deen, their beliefs do not necessarily call them to being truthful.
I mean, how can we have them as witnesses when we are not supposed to be friends with them because they are our enemies?
Well, if they are the ones who witnessed something, they are the only ones. Okay, that's beside the subject anyways, and let's stick, inshallah, to the subject. Then the next matter is Makki and Madani. And you'll find in discussion of the Quran that parts of it are called Makki and parts of it are called Madani. And the rule of thumb, or the simple way to understand it, that Makki is everything that was revealed before the Prophet's Hijrah, before migrating from Mecca to Medina. And Madani is everything that was revealed after that, even that which was revealed in Mecca. Okay, if something was revealed in Mecca after his migration, his Hijrah, that is still considered Madani. So the ayah which says أَيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمْ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا, this was revealed in Arafah, which is a suburb of Mecca, in Hajjat al-Wada, but it's considered Madani, not Mecca. Okay, what is the general difference between Mecca and Madani? In general, for the Mecca, in terms of style, the Mecca is strong in its style, and because it was dealing with people who were arrogant, who were rejecting the truth and so on. Like, you know, if you want to read, for example, Surah Al-Muddathir, you feel that it is very strong, very tough in dealing with them. Ya Ayyuhal Muddathir, Qum Fa'anzir, what does he say to him afterward? ذرني ومن خلقت وحيدا وجعلت له مالا ممدودا وبنين شهودا ومهدت له تمهيدا ثم يطمع أن أزيد كلا إنه كان لآياتنا عنيدا سأرهقه صعودا. It is a very severe warning for that person, I think Walid al-Mughira, who rejected the da'wah of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, and was very arrogant in his rejection. So Allah Azza wa Jalla says, ذرني, leave me alone with that whom I have created, and I gave him children and wealth and so on, and he mentions his favors on him, and then he says سَأُرْهِقُهُ صَعُودًا إِنَّهُ فَكَّرَ وَقَدَّرَ, I will punish him hard, severely and painfully in the hellfire, etc., etc. So if you see that it is a very strong style and tone. And similarly in Surah Al-Qamar, for example, كذب واتبع أهواءهم كل أمر مستقيم من بين فتولى عنه يوم يدعو الداعي إلى شيء نكر خش عن أبصارهم يخرجون من الأجداث كأنهم جراد منتشر, etc. So he is warning the disbelievers also in a very severe way, and you can find this in many places of the Quran المكي, like when he talks about you know, in Surah Noon, سَنَسِمُهُ عَلَى الْخُرْطُومِ نُونُ وَالْقَلِمِ وَمَا يَسْطُرُونَ, he says, سَنَسِمُهُ عَلَى الْخُرْطُومِ, we will brand him on his nose. That, what's his name? Umayyah bin, what? Bin Khalaf. I think Umayyah bin Khalaf is his name. So Allah Azza wa Jal warned them with a severe warning, and the tone was very strong in dealing with them. As for Madani, the tone is easy going, easy flowing, because it is talking mostly to people who have already accepted Islam, or the Muslims, as you find, for example, mostly, I mean, as you find in Surah Al-Ma'idah, for example, where Allah is telling them the mostly rulings, legislations about what to do in this case, what to do in that case, and so on, or Surah Al-Nisa, and so on. Also, mostly the ayat, the Mecca ayat, are short and very strong in their evidence, because of the fact that the people being addressed by them are challenging the Quran and challenging the truth, or denying the truth. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is talking to them with something which is, like hammers, knocking hammers, you know. والفجر والليل العشر والشفع والوتر والليل إذا يسر. It's like, you know, hitting a hammer, one ayah after the other, very short, very abrupt, very prompt. So it is like shaking them up. Yeah, very forceful. This is the Mecca. Whereas the Madani, you find the ayat very long. Like Surah Al-Ma'idah, you find five ayat in 1.5 page. Only five ayat in 1.5 page. In Madani, in Mecca, you find probably 40 ayat in that length of or the same number of words. So So the Madani have long ayat, they are full of ahkam, and there is not much argument like in Surah in Makki. In Makki there is a lot of argument. So in Makki, for example, he says, they say this, tell them this, they say this, tell them this, and ask them about this and this. Like in Surah Yasin at the end, where he says, at the end of Surah Yasin, about that we have created his, doesn't the human being see how we have created his finger? Or you know, this that we just mentioned, since that doesn't readily come to the mind, إِنَّهُ فَكَّرَ وَقَدَّرَ فَقُتِلَ كَيْفَ قَدَّرَ ثُمَّ نَظَرَ ثُمَّ عَبَسَ وَبَسَرَ ثُمَّ أَدْبَرَ وَاسْتَكْبَرَ فَقَالَ إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا سِحْرٌ يُؤْثَرُ إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا قَوْلُ الْبَشَرِ سَأُصْلِيهِ سَقَرَ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ. So Allah Azza wa Jal mentions their arguments, and either, you know, does not respond to it, as in some of these cases, because it is so invalid or so silly, or he responds to it by whatever is needed to respond to it, as in Surah Sa'd, for example, which is also Makki. And this, you know, immediately you can tell whether Surah is Makki or Madani. He mentions the arguments of the disbelievers in the beginning of Surah Sa'd. Sa'd wal Qur'ani, Sa'd wal Qur'ani the dhikr, Sa'd wal aji, Sa'd Qur'ani. So you can grab it on top of you. But he says that they say that he is Majnoon, and that he is Sahir, and so on. And then Allah Azza wa Jal starts immediately responding to their arguments by counter arguments. Okay, here it is.
Was there any of the surahs that were revealed, like I said, the beginning of one revealed in one, and they're completed like in a different stage? Like,
could be some of them. You see that it is Madani, except some parts are Makki or vice versa, even though some of this is not you know, established as they write it in the beginning of the surahs. But I mean, theoretically it's possible, because not everything from every surah came was revealed altogether at one time. And sometimes the Prophet ﷺ was told to put this ayah before that ayah, or after that ayah, and so on, after they were revealed.
What's the best of knowing if the surah is Makki or Madani?
We mentioned this, inshallah. So here, for example, at the end of Surah Yasin, he says, أَوَلَمْ يَرَ الْإِنسَانَ, doesn't the human being see that you have created him from a sperm, and then he is a great arguer, a very clear arguer. And then he gave us an example, and he forgot his creation. He says, who can create the bones after they have been totally deteriorated? قُلْ يُحْيَى. So Allah Azza wa Jal responds, argues with them. Say, يُحْيَى الَّذِي أَنْشَأَ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. The one who created them the first time will create them again. Oh, بِكُلِّ خَلْقٍ عَلِيمٍ. And he is knowledgeable about all creation. The one who made for you from the green trees a fire. And there you are burning lighting it. So from green things you have fire, which is a hot thing. How could that be? Can't the one who created the heavens and the earth, cannot he create something similar to them? Yes, and he is the creator and the knowledgeable. His command is only to say be, and it is. And so on. So you see how he argues with them and brings very strong arguments and very forceful, as we said earlier. In Surah Sa'd, they say, the kuffar say, وَقُرْآنِ الذِّكْرِ بَالَّذِينَ كَفَكَ يَزِينُ وَشِقَاقِ كَمَا خَبْلَهُمْ مِنْ قَرْنٍ وَعَجِبُوا أَنْ جَاءُهُمْ مِنْ ذُرْمِنْهُمْ. They are surprised that a warner comes from among them, and the kuffar say, this is Sahirun Kazab, he is a magician. And then they start arguing a little more. So Allah Azza wa Jalla starts responding to them by saying, after they say, أُنزِلَ عَلَيْهِ الذِّكْرُ مِنْ بَيْنِنَا, was the dhikr, the reminder, revealed to him from all of us? He was the only one to be chosen for that. So Allah Azza wa Jalla says, بَلْ هُمْ فِي شَكٍّ مِنْ ذِكْرِ, rather they are in doubt about my revelation. It's not that they don't, they are in doubt about who deserves the revelation. They are in doubt about their whole revelation. But nay, they have not even tasted my punishment. Am indahum khazain rahmat rabbik? Or do they have control of the treasures of your Lord to dictate whatever they want? What do they have? Al-Aziz al-Wahhab. Am lahum mulku as-samawati wal-ard? Or do they possess the heavens and the earth? Wa ma baynahuma and what's in between them? Falyartaqu fil asbab. Let them then go up and they make ladders or stairs and go up in the heavens. Let's see what they can do. Jundum ma hunalika mahzum min al-ahzab. And then he says, كذبت قبلهم قوم. And then he tells about people before them who rejected the truth and what happened to them. إن كل إلا كذب رسل حق عقاب وما ينظر هؤلاء إلا صيحة واحدة ما لها من فوار. And those two, they are not awaiting except one صيحة or blow or something like that, and then that's the end of them. So Allah Azza wa Jal is, as we said, in the Madani, in the Makki Quran, he's forceful. The ayat are short. They are full of arguing or disputing with, or giving hujjah, giving strong evidence against the statements of the disbelievers. But for the Madani, the ayat are longer. They are full of ahkam, of legislations and rulings and so on, and they are more easygoing, more smooth, longer, and so on.
Is this classification accepted at Baal Shasan, or is it tabid at Baal Shasan?
Which classification? No, this is something that the scholars of Quran later on devised to as a means of understanding the Quran better.
Is it from a bidah?
No, because it is just to organize our knowledge of the Quran. So it's not meant for ta'abbud. We do not seek to worship Allah Azza wa Jal by this classification. It is just, you know, a form of organizing our knowledge. That when we, if you know this, as we will mention now in a little bit, that if you know this, then when you read a certain ayah, you can find more from it and know why it has this tone, whereas another surah has a different tone. And, you know, if you want to give some quotations, then you know which surah you look at and extract your quotations from, and so on. Okay, this is in regard to the style of the Makki and Madani. As for the subject matter of Makki is in general deals with matters of Tawheed and the correct Aqidah, correct beliefs, especially in regard to the Tawheed of Uluhiyah, of believing in the resurrection. Because most of the people who were addressed by the Makki Quran did not believe in that. So Allah Azza wa Jal wanted to establish the understanding of Tawheed and of Aqidah, especially the Aqidah of Ba'ath, of resurrection, in their minds. As for Madani, as we said, it mostly deals with ibadat, with mu'amalat, with dealings among people, social life, and acts of worship. Because the people who are addressed are people who have already understood matters of Tawheed and Aqidah, and they need to know more about the Ibadat and Mu'amalat dealings. And also in Madani you find that there is a lot of discussion about Jihad and the rulings of Jihad and Munafiqeen. In Madani, because there was no Jihad, there was no fighting in Mecca, so the believers were not allowed to fight yet. So there was no Jihad, and also there were no Munafiqeen in Mecca, because the Muslims were the minority and the weak ones. So nobody wants to come among them and be like a secret investigator and a spy among them, because they are already too weak for anybody to be among them like that. But in Medina, when the Muslims became powerful, then people started claiming Islam to attain some of the gains that the Muslims have. Okay, in answer to your question, what is the benefit of knowing what is the distinguishing between what is Makki and Madani? First of all, we realize the eloquence of the Quran and that it speaks to every people by what they need, or by in the tone and the style that is adequate for them. We also realize, we observe in that the wisdom of the revelation or the legislation in the best manner, by seeing how it gradually goes from one stage to the other, depending on what the people have already learned and known and understood. And also, by that, Allah Azza wa Jal teaches or directs those who make da'wah to Allah and guides them to follow what He Himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala, followed in the Quran, by dealing with the people according to their situation and according to their level of understanding, and kindness and ease is needed, use kindness. When toughness is needed, you use toughness and force. And also, by knowing this, we can distinguish between what is nasikh and what is mansukh, what is abrogated and what is abrogating. Like if an ayah, we know that this is Makki, and another ayah, Madani, that has conflict, there is a conflict between the two ayah, then we can quickly conclude that since this is Madani, therefore it came after the first one, and therefore it abrogates it.
What is abrogated and what is?
The abrogated, the abrogating and the abrogated.
Which one? Nasikh is abrogating?
Nasikh or Mansukh,
yes.
Nasikh, Mansukh is abrogated.
How do the scholars find out which one is Makki and which one is the Madani? Yes. Just because of the short sentences?
Yes. Well, there are many things. We mentioned some of the, you know, by different features that we mentioned. And also by the seerah, because in the seerah it says that this such and such happened and this was revealed, or this was revealed. So many ayat they know because of the, you know, what is recorded in the sunnah, in the hadith about the revelation of various ayat. Like if you look in the books of Bukhari and Muslim and others, you find that there is a big section about the Quran and the various ayat, the various revelation of these ayat and so on. Okay, we are running short of time, so...
Is it possible for us to number them? Like, all of them?
Do what?
Can you number all of them, all the surahs? Like, first, second, third, fourth, third?
I don't know, maybe for many or most of them, but you probably will have a few that is not clear whether this was before this or after it or... and such. Come on. Okay. What is the wisdom behind the revelation of the Quran as, you know, mufarraq, which means separated into small pieces instead of revealing it all at once? Why some of it was revealed in Mecca? Come on. Some in Medina, some and that which was revealed in Mecca was not all revealed at once, and the same for that which was revealed in Medina. There are many reasons. One of them is that to confirm, to make the heart of the Prophet ﷺ firm, by Allah Azza wa Jal, by Allah Azza wa Jal always sending things to him to remind him and to give him support and lessen or reduce his distress if because of the rejection or harm of the people. As Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفُرُوا لَوْ لَنُزِلَ عَلَيْهِ الْقُرْآنُ جُمْلَةً وَاحِدَةً كَذَلِكَ لِنُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ وَرَتَّلْنَاهُ تَرْتِيلًا. Which means the disbelievers say, wouldn't the Quran have been revealed to him as one piece or as one chunk? So Allah Azza wa Jal answered that by saying, Alhamdulillah, thus we did so that we would confirm your heart with it. Okay, and also another benefit is that it makes it easier for people to memorize it, to understand it, and to act upon it. As Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَقُرْآنًا فَرَقْنَاهُ لِتَقَرَأَهُ عَلَى النَّاسِ عَلَى مُكْتٍ وَنَزَّلْنَاهُ تَنْزِيلًا. The Quran that we have separated it to parts so that you would read it to people on stages, and we have sent it down in pieces. وَنَزَّلْنَاهُ تَنْزِيلًا. The third reason is to تَنْشِيطُ الْهِمَمْ لِقَبُولِ مَا نَزَلَ الْقُرْآنِ وَتَنْفِيذِ. To give people the incentive to accept that which has been revealed of the Quran and act upon it, because the people would be longing to an ayah to be revealed. As soon as it's revealed, they act upon it and they practice it and so on. But if the whole thing was revealed to them all at once, they will do like we are doing now. We have the whole book in our house, but sometimes we do not touch it for a long time, for weeks. And you know, just imagine that we are told that this book, you'll be receiving it. You know, I remember that, I want to mention my stories. I'll mention this after, inshallah. We have no time. But I mean, if somebody wants to send you, he says, I'll send you a sentence or two sentences in a letter every week, and just read that. And then the next week, another. So you long to that, and you want to read that, and immediately, if it is of benefit, to apply it and act upon it. And also, by that way, it was possible to send the tashriya, the legislation, in a gradual way instead of sending it all at once, as in the case, example of, well-known example of the khamr. Okay, now the organization of the Quran. As we know that the Quran is organized in ayat, in words, in ayat, and in surah. And the scholars, of course, for the words, there is ijma that the ayat must be the way, and which means that the sequence of the words in the Quran is a revelation by itself, which means you cannot change the sequence. Like instead of saying Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, you cannot say Lillahi Alhamdu Rabbil Alameen. You cannot change this. This is and part of the revelation. The second thing is that the ayat, that this ayah comes before this ayah or after this ayah, this is also part of the revelation, because the Prophet ﷺ used to tell people, put this ayah before this or after this ayah and so on in such and such surah. So this is also part of the revelation by the hadith of Uthman radiallahu anhu. And as for the surah, the sequence of the surah, this is a point of difference among the scholars. Some say that it is not part of the revelation, it's not obligatory. But the most common opinion is that it is also part of the revelation. And this has been established by the practice, by the understanding of the Salaf, starting from the rightly guided Khulafa, Umar and Uthman, Abu Bakr, Umar and Uthman, to our time. So this is the accepted Sunnah of Muslims to our time. Okay, I stop here because the time is over. All that we have left from this review about the Ulum al-Quran, the brief Ulum al-Quran, is how the Quran was compiled. So we talk about the compilation of the Quran, and then next week, inshallah, we'll start discussing the foundations of tafsir, also a brief summary of that, like what are the references for tafsir, what are the methods, who are the most important sahaba who did tafsir, and then the tabi'een, and then what is muhkam, what is mutashabih, what is nasikh, what is mansukh, and so on in the Quran. So inshallah we talk about this and next week, and I don't know if we can finish, or maybe it will need another sitting after that. So we stop here inshallah. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.
You have the course,
the 4 times course. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد, now this is from a booklet by Sheikh Muhammad bin Salih Al-Uthaymeen called Usul fi Tafsir, which means Foundations or Fundamentals in Tafsir. But he starts with a summary of Ulum al-Quran, a very brief summary, and then a very brief summary of Ilm al-Tafsir. And I found it very useful as a start for the person who wants to have a basic grounds or foundation for this subject. And then, you know, later on, maybe at some point, we can deal with this subject in more extensively. But now the intention is to go over it very quickly before we get into other subjects. And this is today also will be mostly a summary of what we covered over a period of about 8 or 10 hours in the past. And then inshallah we can start with something additional. So what we mentioned is that Al-Quran, according to Shara, to the understanding of Shara, even though linguistically it means any book which is recited and which is compiled. The word Quran means both compilation and recitation. So it could mean any book which has this description. But in the meaning of the Shara, the Quran, when we say Quran, we refer specifically to the book that Allah sent down through Jibreel alayhi salam, or by means of Jibreel, to his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and about which he said, "Inna nahnu nazzalna alayka al-Qur'ana tanzila." It is we who have sent down the Quran upon you gradually. And his saying, "Inna anzalnahu Qur'anan Arabiyyan la'allakum taqilun," which means we have indeed sent it down as an Arabic Quran that you may take heed. Allah Azza wa Jal protected the Quran, promised to protect it and preserve it by saying, "Inna nahnu nazzalna al-dhikra wa inna lahu lahafizun." It is we who have sent down al-dhikr, the Quran, the reminder, and it is we who will preserve it. And the reason, of course, of sending the Quran is so that people will understand, will reflect on it, and will take heed, will abide by its commands. As Allah Azza wa Jal says, "Kitabun anzalnahu ilayka mubarakun liyadabbaru ayatihi wa liyatadhakkara ulul albab." It is a book that we have sent down to you or revealed to you, which is blessed, that they would contemplate over its ayat, its signs, and so that those who have hearts will remember. And he says, "Wahada kitabun anzalnahu mubarakun fattabi'u wattaqu la'allakum turhamun," which means, and this is a book that we have sent it down, it is blessed, so follow it and have taqwa that you may attain or receive mercy. And he says, "وَإِنَّهُ إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ يَهْدِي الَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمُ." This Quran guides to the one, to that which is better. So this is the purpose of revealing the Quran, and those who follow the Quran, of course, it benefits them. And in many ways, as Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَهُدًا وَرَحْمَةً وَبُشْرًا لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ, which means we have sent down the book upon you as a clarification for everything, and as guidance and mercy and glad tidings for the believers. So the Quran, by this, is a source of tashriya. It is a source of guidance and of laws for the Muslim Ummah. Similarly, of course, the Sunnah is, as Allah Azza wa Jal says, "وَمَن يُطِعَ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهَ." Whoever obeys the Messenger has indeed obeyed Allah. And he says, "وَمَن يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا." Whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger has indeed greatly deviated from the, or been misguided. And he commands, Allah commands, "وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا," which means whatever the Messenger gives you, take it, and whatever he prohibits from you, refrain from it. And he says, "قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِ يَحْبُكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ." Say, if you truly love Allah, follow me, Allah will love you and forgive your sins. Okay, so with this introduction, or the summary of the introduction, we mention the nuzul of the Quran, the revelation of the Quran was revealed in Laylat al-Qadr in the month of Ramadan. As Allah Azza wa Jal says, "Inna anzalnahu fi Laylat al-Qadr." We have sent it down or revealed it on Laylat al-Qadr. And he says, "Inna anzalnahu fi Laylat al-Mubaraka, inna kunna mundirin." Indeed, we have sent it down on a blessed night, and indeed, we are warners, or we give warnings to people. And he says, "Shahru Ramadan الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان," which means the month of Ramadan on which the Quran was revealed. The Prophet ﷺ was 40 years old, according to the most authentic reports or famous reports. He was 40 years old when the Quran was revealed to him. And the Quran was brought down by Jibreel, who is one of the most honorable, if not the most honorable and closest angels to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَإِنَّهُ لَتَنْزِيلُ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ نَزَلَ بِهِ الرُّوحُ الْأَمِينَ عَلَى قَلْبِكَ لِتَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُنْذِرِينَ بِلِسَانٍ عَرَبِيٍّ مُبِينٍ. Which means, verily, it is a revelation from the Lord of the peoples. It was the one who brought it down is Ar-Ruh Al-Amin, the honest or the trustworthy spirit upon your heart, so that you would be among the warners and bilisan Arabi Mubin, with a clear Arabic tongue. So that is a clear statement that the Quran was sent down by Jibreel alayhi salam to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by Jibreel to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from Allah. Allah sent down the Quran, gave it to Jibreel, and Jibreel took it down to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Which ayah? It's toward the end of Surah, I believe Surah Shu'ara. I'm not sure. It could be, but I have to check. وَإِنَّهُ لَتَنْزِيلُ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ نَزَلَ بِهِ الرُّوحُ الْأَمِينُ عَلَى قَلْبِكَ لِتَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُنْذِرِينَ بِلِسَانٍ عَرَبِيٍّ مُبِينٍ وَإِنَّهُ لَفِي زُبُرِ الْأَوَّلِينَ أَوَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُمْ آيَةً أَن يَعْلَمَهُ عُلَمَاءُ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ وَنَزَّلْنَاهُ عَلَى بَعْضِ الْأَعْجَمِيِّينَ فَقَرَأَ عَلَيْهِم مَّا كَانُوا يُؤْمِنُونَ كَذَلِكَ يَسْلُكُ فِي قُلُوبِ الْمُجْرِمِينَ. I think it is at the end of Surah Shu'ara. And Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَإِنَّهُ لَقَوْلُ رَسُولٍ كَرِيمٍ ذِي قُوَّةٍ عِنْدَ ذِي الْعَرْشِ مَكِينٍ مُطَاعٍ ثَمَّ أَمِينٍ. Which means this Quran is the saying, which means it is conveyed from the saying of an honorable messenger, that's Jibreel. ذِي قُوَّةٍ عِنْدَ ذِي الْعَرْشِ. ذِي قُوَّةٍ, he is of power. عِنْدَ ذِي الْعَرْشِ مَكِينٍ, and he is well established with the one of the throne, which means he is close to him, he is he is made to be respectful and honorable among the people of the angels of the heavens by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. عِنْدَ ذِي الْعَرْشِ مَكِينٍ مُطَاعٍ ثَمَّ أَمِينٍ, and he is obeyed over there, that is in the heavens, and trustworthy. This is in Surah An-Najm. And he says
Takwir.
I was testing you. Okay, how about this? عَلَّمَهُ شَدِيدُ الْقُوَى ذُو مِرَّةٍ فَاسْتَوَى وَهُوَ بِالْأُفُقِ الْأَعْلَى. This is in Surah An-Najm. عَلَّمَهُ شَدِيدُ الْقُوَى, which means it was taught by the one who is of great powers. ذُو مِرَّةٍ فَاسْتَوَى. مِرَّة either means power or it means beauty. So Jibreel is of beauty and power. فَاسْتَوَهُ بِالْأُفُقِ الْأَعْلَى, and he or stood, or stayed up, or in the heavens, in the highest horizon. So he, as we described, I think, a few days ago in the discussion of Jibreel, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam first saw him, he was standing still, or flying, or whatever, in the heavens, so that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw him so huge, so that his wings covered the horizon. And he says, قُلْ نَزَّلَهُ رُوحُ الْقُدُسِ مِنْ رَبِّكَ بِالْحَقِّ. Say, the one who revealed it is the spirit that belongs to the Holy One, to Allah Azza wa Jal. رُوحُ الْقُدُسِ مِنْ رَبِّكَ بِالْحَقِّ. From your Lord with the truth. لِيُثَبِّتَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَبُشْرَى لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ. So that he would make steady, confirm the believers, and to be a guidance and glad tidings for the Muslims. And because of the greatness of the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal sent the greatest of the angels to carry it down to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first part of the Quran that was revealed was ayah Surah Al-Alaq. اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم. These are the first that were ever revealed. And then the revelation stopped for a while. And after that, the first that was revealed after it was the ayat from Surah Al-Muddathir, يا أيها المدثر قم فأنذر وربك فكبر وثيابك فطهر والرجز فهجر. The five ayat from Surah Al-Muddathir. Aisha radiallahu anha reported, this is in Bukhari and Muslim, she said, the truth came to him while he was, that is to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, while he was in the ghar, in the cave of Hira. The angel came to him and he told him, read. The Prophet ﷺ said, I cannot read. And so she mentioned the hadith, and then, which is relatively long, and after that he told him, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق, the ayat of Surah Al-Alaq. Read with the name of your Lord who has created. Up to his saying, علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم, he taught the human being that which he did not know. And for those who say, also it is in Bukhari and Muslim, that from Jabir, that the first of which was revealed was يا أيها المدثر, this should be understood in the light of the first hadith, that the first that was revealed after the interruption, because there was a period of interruption, and after that, this the revelation resumed. So that is when the ayat of Al-Muddathir, five ayat, were revealed.
So, where is the truth that?
Or else, some scholars say that the five ayat of Surah Al-Muddathir were the first thing that started his message, his mission. Because he was told, get up and go warn the people. Whereas the first five ayats are just telling him to read and to know about his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he was not commanded yet to go and warn the people. So that's another explanation for the different interpretation between the scholars as to why Jabir said the first five ayat were from Muddathir, and Aisha said the first five ayat were Surah Al-Alaq. What was your question, Ya Muhammad?
No, it's clear.
Okay. Okay. The reasons for, or the causes for the revelation of the Quran are of two types. One of them is, or the Quran, when it is revealed, it could have a cause or not a cause. It could be ibtida'i. نزول القرآن ابتدائي وسببي. The revelation of portions of the Quran could be without any specific cause, or it could have a cause. The ayat could have a cause for the revelation. For example, things that do not require a cause for them, ابتدائي, this is the majority of the ayat of the Quran. The majority of the Quran is ibtida'i, which means it does not require a cause for its revelation. Ibtida'i means from tada, which means starting. It is it starts off without a cause, that is. So the majority of the Quran is like that. For instance, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ عَاهَدَ اللَّهَ لَيْنَ أَتَانَ مِنْ فَضْلِنَا صَدَّقَنَّ وَلَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. Among them are those who gave their covenant to Allah that if He gives us of His favors, we will pay charity and we will be righteous, among the righteous. So this, even though there are some weak reports that it was revealed for a specific reason, but they are weak, as we said, so it remains as being an ayah that was revealed without any specific cause. The other type is sababi, which means it has a reason, and which means that there was a reason or an incident that prompted the revelation of that part of the Quran.
What did you say the question was?
Ibtidai, tada'a, from ibtada, bada'a, ibtada'a, ibtidai. Ibtidai, like elementary school, madrasa ibtidaiya, ibtidai. Alif, ba, ta, dal, ibtidai. Alif, hamza, ibtidai, not ibtidai, ibtidai. Stop playing with the number. Okay. Sababi, like for example, Allah Azza wa Jal answering the question, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَهِلَّةِ. They are asking you about the ahilla, the new moons or crescents. قُلْ هِيَ مَوَاقِيتُ لِلنَّاسِ وَالْحَجِّ. Tell them they are for timing timing methods for people and for Hajj, or in regard to some incident that took place and Allah Azza wa Jal is telling the Muslims what to do in its regard. So he says, وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ لَيَقُولُنَّ إِنَّمَا كُنَّا نَخُوضُ وَنَلْعَبُ. He's talking about some people who did things to hurt Allah and His Messenger. They said things to hurt the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling him, if you ask them, they would say, we were just joking, we were just saying nonsense. So Allah Azza wa Jalla responded to them, قُلْ أَبِاللَّهِ وَآيَاتِي وَرَسُولِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. Say, with Allah and His Messenger, His ayat, His Messenger, have you been playing or making fun of? So here put them in a very strong way. And this is about some of the munafiqeen, as I said, the hypocrites, who were making fun of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions. And they were saying about them that they like to eat, but they lie in what they say about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions. And they are cowardly when it comes for facing the enemy. So when the Prophet ﷺ heard this, he became angry, of course, and the Quran was revealed that I just mentioned. So one of them came and started apologizing to the Prophet ﷺ. So he answered him by saying, أَبِاللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. So he said, is it by Allah, His ayat, and His Messenger that you were joking or making fun of? Or it could be something that requires an explanation. So it could be the reasons, the ayat which were sent down because of a reason. The reason could be a question that Allah answers, like the first example that we gave. They ask you about such and such, tell them such and such. Or it could be that an incident happened and Allah Azza wa Jal gave His response to it immediately. Like these munafiqeen, the hypocrites did such and such, so tell them such and such. Or in Surah Al-Munafiqun, لَا رَجَعْنَا الْمَدِينَةِ لَيُخْرِجَنَّ الْعَزُّ مِنَ الْأَذَلِ. They say, when we go back to the Medina, the more honorable of it, person in it, will drive out the more degraded, or something like that, or lowly. So, وَلِلَّهِ الْعَزَّةُ وَرَسُولُهُ. So Allah immediately responded by saying, to Allah is the izzah, the honor, and his messenger, and the believers. But the munafiqeen do not know this. So this is the second type. This third type is that it is a matter that took place and requires some explanation about the hukum, the judgment in that regard, and that the Prophet ﷺ did not know the judgment until Allah Azza wa Jal taught him. Like in Surah Al-Mujadala, in the beginning of Surah Al-Mujadala, قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا وَتَشْتَكِي إِلَى اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ يَسْمَعُ تَحَاوَرَكُمَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ بَصِيرٌ. Which means Allah has heard the saying of the woman who was arguing with you about her husband and deploring to Allah. And Allah heard your disputing with her. Allah is indeed all hearing, all seeing. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla explained what is the ruling in regard to this matter, which is the man who would say to his mother, to his wife, "You are to me like my mother." And he, is this a divorce or is it what? To me, you are like my mother. So, anti alayya ka zahri ummi. Is she divorced or not? So Allah Azza wa Jalla explained what they should do in such a case. The man who says this to his wife.
What's the difference between this category and the second category? The second one is a specific reason or incident. And then the third category is
No,
this is not a certain question. This is like they need to an explanation a certain matter of fiqh, a hukum, you know, a ruling. The second matter is that Allah Azza wa Jalla is dealing with a, with an issue that, you know,
this is part of
we are still all about sabab, you know. They are not very clearly distinctive, but
this is not the third.
No. These are all reasons. Sababi, still sababi.
Okay.
But sababi could be prompted by a question, could be prompted by an incident that took place, and it could be prompted by the necessity to explain a ruling that the Prophet ﷺ did not know something that happened and did not have a precedence before.
Tabbat yada
abi lahim wa tab, this is from the second example like the second type that he mentioned. Okay, the fawaid ma'rifati asbab nuzul, what is the benefit of knowing the causes of the revelation of the Quran? There are many benefits and very important benefits, among which is that emphasize or show that the Quran is actually a revelation from Allah Azza wa Jal, because the Prophet ﷺ would be asked sometimes about things and he would not give an answer until the answer is revealed to him. So if it was, you know, his making up, he would always give the answer right away. And an example for this is when they asked him about ar-ruh, about the soul, he said, Abdullah Mas'ud reported this radiallahu anh, in Sahih Bukhari, he said that a man from the Jews, he said, "Oh Abu al-Qasim," to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "what is the soul?" So he remained silent and did not say anything. فَعَلِمْتُ أَنَّهُ يُوحَى إِلَيْهِ, so I knew that the revelation was coming to him. That's what Ibn Mas'ud said. فَلَمَّا نَزَلَ الْوَحِيِّ فَقُمْتُ مَقَامِي, I stayed in my place, I did not move from where I was. فَلَمَّا نَزَلَ الْوَحِيِّ, and then when the revelation was came to him, after the revelation came, he Allah Azza wa Jalla said, and he told them, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْرُوحِ قُلِ الْرُوحِ مِنْ أَمِرْ رَبِّي, they ask you about the soul, say the soul is of my Lord's command. And the other ayah that there are other examples about this type, so we skip the examples. And also the second is to show the care that and the concern that Allah had about his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and about refuting supporting him, protecting him, as in his saying, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ عَلَيْهِ الْقُرْآنُ جُمْلَةً وَاحِدَةً. The disbelievers said, we wish, why did, wasn't the Quran revealed to him all at once? Allah Azza wa Jal answered, كَذَلِكَ لِنُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ وَرَتَّلْنَاهُ تَرْتِيلًا. So, or thus, we revealed it so that you would confirm your heart, or may make firm, make steady your heart with it. And رَتَّلْنَاهُ, we recited it in a recited way, or something like that. And similarly in the ayat in Surah An-Nur, where people said things about Aisha radiallahu anha, so Allah Azza wa Jal sent down a number of ayat, long number of ayat, or many ayat, refuting what they said, and by that supporting His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It shows that the concern of Allah Azza wa Jal about, or the care that Allah takes with His servants, as in the ahadith, as in the hadith in Sahih Bukhari, that in one of the travels Aisha lost a what you call it, a necklace that she had, and the Prophet ﷺ stayed longer to find her necklace, but there was no water around. So they mentioned that to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, that we have been delayed in our trip looking for the necklace and there is no water. And this is a hadith, a long hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. So Allah Azza wa Jal revealed the ayah about tayammum, how to make tayammum, how to use dust instead of water if there is no water. So Usayd bin Hudayr said, one of the Sahaba commented on this by saying, مَا هِيَ بِأَوَّلِ بَرَكَتِكُمْ يَا آلَ أَبِي بَكْرٍ, which means this is not the first time that by something you did you give barakah to the Muslims or family of Abu Bakr. Because of the necklace of Aisha radiallahu anha, they had to stay behind, and their staying behind has caused them to lack some water, and when they lack the water, Allah told them about فَتَيَمَّمُوا صَعِيدًا طَيِّبًا, so you may use water instead of dust instead of water. And also knowing the reasons or the causes of revelation helps understand some of the ayat properly, the ayat which has whose causes of revelations are known, as is obvious. I mean, there are some examples, but it is hopefully obvious that if you know the cause for something, you can understand it better than if you do not know the thing related to it, why it was revealed. Now, there is an important rule here, now that we have finished with the mentioning the reasons of or the benefits of knowing the causes of revelation. There is an important rule, which is that if an ayah is revealed for a specific reason, but it has a general meaning, then its ruling should encompass its cause and everything else that the text can cover. Okay, that the text can cover, because the Quran has been revealed as legislation for the whole ummah, and not for the specific incidents for which the ayat were revealed. So in other words, al-ibra bi'umumi lafzi la bi'khususi sabab, which means what matters is the generality of the text, not the specification of the reason or the cause or the incident. So